Hello and welcome, everyone. My name is Matthew Spencer, and I'd like to thank you for listening into our weekly message at Christ Church International. We are a gathering of believers living for the dream of Jesus, souls from every nation, one at a time. We love Jesus, we love the Bible, and we love people. Since 1981, we have been sharing the good news of Jesus, and now we're thrilled to be at our new location in downtown Longmont, Colorado, at 527 Main Street. Our key verse for this year is 1 Chronicles 11:9. David's stride became longer, his embrace larger, yes, God of the angel armies was with him. Also, the Lord prophetically spoke to us the first Sunday of the year, saying, "Listen to me, yield to me, take my hand and walk with me, and 2016 will be the year of greater achievements." And now, here is today's message.
Well, are you ready for the word today? Amen. I am too. See how long I vamp today. Father, we thank you for your presence. We thank you for your kingdom that's here in our midst. We thank you, Father, that wherever we go as believers, the kingdom is there. And we're thanking you, Father, that as we approach the last of the last days, that, Father, we're excited about the revelation of your glory manifesting in our lives, your presence, your power, your goodness being seen in our lives. And, Father, flowing out of us into a world that's in need of your life and your goodness. And, Father, we give you praise for it. We thank you for it. Lord, I pray for your grace to help me today. And, Lord, we thank you that you have promised us you'd give us your personal attention, sir. You promised us, sir, that you would make sure we prospered. You said, sir, you'd make sure we grew in numbers. You said that you'd keep this covenant in good working order. Father, you said you'd not shun us, but Lord, you'd walk it through our neighborhoods and you would stroll through our streets. And so, Lord, I thank you that you've promised that you'd be our personal God. So, Father, I thank you today. Every person that's here has a need. And Lord, I thank you for being a personal God to each one that's here today. And Lord, I thank you for that in the name of Jesus. Amen. How many of you have read the book Resile Intercessor? Okay, there's a good number of you who've done that. I encourage you to pull that book out from time to time and kind of go through it. Just kind of, it's not the Bible, of course. We're reading through the Bible, and that's obviously it's the Word of God. But the book Resile Intercessor has been a real wonderful book in my life, and it is a life-changing book. Anybody agree with that? Yeah. It is. Well, Reese Howells made a comment as they were praying through World War II. They were there in Swansea, Wales, and were praying through the war. And he made this comment. He said, and the king had called for a national day of prayer. That's a good thing to do when you're in trouble. I wish our president would call for a national day of prayer. I really wish he would. And I don't mean just a religious thing, but I mean, I wish our leaders, I wish our governor would do it. I remember when we were having all those forest fires a few years ago, and everybody was wringing their hands. I wrote a letter to the governor, and I just said, "Hey, call a statewide day of prayer." Well, I got back a form letter. "Well, we're interested in your prayer, but we really don't prayer. We don't care anything about what you just said." You know, that's what they said. And let me tell you, if our leaders were to call a national day of prayer, not a religious one, but say, "Listen, we are in trouble, and we need God's help," God would answer. That's simple. See, we don't have an answer to the economic crisis that we're in. Our leaders don't have an answer. I don't care, Republican, Democrat. I don't care what. Nobody has an answer. And where the whole world is going, no one has an answer. But Jesus. And he'd give us the answer. Well, Reese Howell said this. He said, as the king called for a national day of prayer, because, I mean, the invasion, Germany was ready to invade. And sometimes I wonder, will it take something drastic to happen before we really pray? I'm just asking. Well, at any rate, so Reese Howells made this statement. He said, "Suppose millions prayed and no one believed." See, guys, it's not enough that you pray. It's not enough to come to church. At some point, you've got to believe. And if you don't believe, you can do all the religious stuff. You could go to every church here in Longmont today. Go down to go to the Episcopal Church and have Mass, go to the Catholic Church and have Mass, go to the Baptist Church and sing a hymn, and come here and do whatever we do. Go up the street to that church, go over there to that church, do all the stuff, and still not have any faith and connect with God. You know, last Saturday night when many of us were at that meeting with David Hogan, and he threw out that challenge. And I guess I'll just call it that. He wasn't accusing us. I think he was just kind of challenging us. But he threw out that challenge that he was in a room full of unbelievers. I hope I'm not in a room today full of unbelievers. Now, let me just tell you a secret. I'm going to talk about revival today and some things that we need from God, but when revival comes, when God comes in the room, it gets messy. How many of you know that? If you will just read the New Testament honestly, take off your religious glasses and just read it honestly. When Jesus showed up, what did he say? He said, when I come, I'm going to bring peace to everybody's life. He didn't say that. He said, when I come, I'm going to come with a sword. And I'm going to see families divided. Now, that's not his will. His will is that families be united and be whole. But what happens is when the gospel comes and the kingdom comes, often there's a conflict, and in that conflict, we get torn apart. Now, when God comes in revival, and let me say this to you guys, without a revival, without a great awakening, the republic is in danger. I'll tell you that. I didn't say the democracy, I said the republic is in danger. I didn't say America. I said the republic is in danger. Now, but when revival comes, and I like this definition of revival. Revival is when God puts on his track shoes and breaks out away from his people. And this is what happens. Now, nobody say, oh, Pastor Mark, the Bible says everything should be done decently and in order. The Holy Spirit will do everything decently and in order. But it might not be your order. And I tell you what, you know what the call of pastors is? You know what a pastor is called to do? He didn't say, the Bible doesn't say we're called to be ranchers, we're called to be pastors. And what do pastors do? They take care of the sheep. And what do? They kind of gather them like this, see? We bring them in and we want to protect them. This is why prophetic people and pastors often butt heads. It's just the function of the gift. And guys, so here it is. When God shows up, he often disrupts our order. I mean, last week, we were kind of vamping. I was telling you, we were just vamping, kind of waiting for the Lord to show up. You know when he showed up last week? After we said amen? I mean, they're having revival up here. I mean, people were getting, it was, I thought, well, okay, Lord, I'm going to say amen now. But he'll do that. He'll upset your order. He'll upset the way you think things ought to be done. And the reason he does it, guys, is you need to learn this truth. If you get this truth down and I need to be reminded of it frequently, and that is this: God will offend the mind, your mind. He offends the mind to reveal your heart. We were speaking of the Bible College of Wales the first time, and I've told you this story. I'm trying to pick something that's safe, because I could pick some other things right now that might not be safe for me. So I'll pick one that's safe for all of us, so you don't have to forgive me. First time I preached at the Bible College of Wales, I was there visiting Dr. Kingsley Pretty, and Samuel Howells invited me to preach. Well, I hadn't come prepared to preach, in that I didn't have a suit and a tie. And so they always expected their guest speakers to preach in a suit and tie. Matter of fact, I think I had a polo shirt or something. And when I got done preaching, the students would, I literally had students come up to me and say, "We didn't know you could preach anointed messages unless you had a suit and tie on." I realize in some church today, my outfit would not be acceptable. Because I'm not so matching today. Or my hair's too long. See, what happens is, I've actually had people tell, and I won't call the name of the television preacher. Well known, a great preacher. I've actually had people say this to me: "I can't stand that accent, and therefore I don't get anything out of what he preaches." You know what that tells me? God is allowing their mind to be offended, and in offending their mind, he reveals their heart, that they're bigots. You see? That's what it is. Because, you see, and so this will happen in your life as well. As revival begins to come and the Spirit of God begins to do something, you make sure that when you start to get offended, watch out. Because what's happening is God is showing that it's your heart, what the real condition of your heart. All right? Okay, so now, with that kind of said, I don't know what God's going to do later as we pray for you. I remember when we had that series of time when people were laughing all the time. We did not promote that. It happened, though. Yeah. And it offended people. Yeah. It offended people. Now, when revival breaks out, it'll break out of our traditions, and it'll break out of our form. I may need some guys to give me some hand here. Now, when God, and he breaks into our lives with his power, he won't do it the way you think he needs to do it. But he'll do it in a way that will meet your need if you'll let him. How about this? You know, you come for prayer to receive healing. So you want healing, so you come here and you say, and there's, let's say we're having a special guest. I want a special guest to pray for me. But you know, the special guest doesn't pray for you. But you know what? This little lady sitting over here has got the anointing in her hands for your body to get healed. But you don't want her to pray for you. You want the anointed man of God to pray for you. So what happens is you miss your miracle. Because your mind says, "Oh, I only want the pastor or the priest to pray for me." Mm-hmm. Am I making this point clear, guys? All right. How many of you are reading through the Bible with us this year? I hope you are. Don't raise. You know, you shouldn't raise. I shouldn't have said it that way. I don't want to get anybody offended today. I hope you're reading through the Bible with us. I think you should be some places in maybe in Joshua, something like that. In Deuteronomy, okay, all right. Well, I guess I'm a little ahead this time. This week, last week I was behind, I guess. So as I was reading through there, I came across something in the book of Joshua that is just, it thrilled me. And I was really amazed at it. And I think the Lord has something to say to us today. And I think your faith's going to rise today. I trust it is. I believe your faith's going to rise. You're going to get confidence in God today. In about chapters 9 and 10, Joshua is and the children of Israel are moving across the promised land. Excuse me. And as the power of God has been demonstrated, the nations now are starting to tremble. I mean, God's on the move. Yahweh, not just God, Yahweh is on the move. He's on the move. And everywhere he's going, I mean, the walls of Jericho came down. How many of you know the story? Okay, are you with me? So the nations understand that. And so there was one group, they were kind of like next on the list, next on God's hit list. They were called the Gibeonites. And so these guys said, you know what we need to do? Let's go make a covenant with them. But you know, their God has declared a holy curse on this land. Now, a lot of people say, why was it that the children of Israel had to kill everybody? I like what the Message says, the translation, the Message. He translates that the holy curse. Let me tell you why. These people were so evil. They did horrible things to their children, to their babies. Their worship was promiscuous. It was a terrible place. And God had a covenant people that he intended to bring the Messiah into the earth through that people, and they had to be a holy people. And therefore, God said, get rid of these people, because if you don't, what's going to happen is you'll end up worshiping like they worship. You'll begin to act like they act. You'll begin to do the things that they do. And so the Gibeonites heard this was happening. And so they planned a ruse. They got a bunch of old bread. They got their old wineskins. They sent the emissaries. And the emissaries came to Joshua and said, we've traveled from so far. We've heard you have a great God, and that you're a great people, and that you're taking over the land. And we live way, 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 way. Did we say way, way far away? We live so far away that we just have crumbs now left over. We had fresh, warm bread when we left. And our wineskins, we've come so far across the desert that our wineskins are now old and they're cracked, and We just barely got here. It's interesting, it says this, and Joshua and the leaders of Israel did not ask the Lord about this. So they made a covenant with these people. I don't know how they made covenant with them. I'm sure very similar to how they made covenant with Abraham. Abraham made covenant with God. That is that they took animals, sacrificed them, walked between the pieces together, made a covenant, made promises, they swore to one another, we'll be your defense, you'll be our defense. If you break this curse, then we have a right to kill you. I mean, this is how they made covenants. So, this is an interesting story, guys. So, 3 days later, Joshua finds out, you've deceived me. You've deceived us. But there was nothing they can do because they made a covenant with them. They gave them their word. So now, a number of the other nations in that area decided, let's go attack the Gibeonites, because they've made a covenant with Israel. Let's go make an attack. Let's go attack them. So they gather all these armies and they attack the Gibeonites. The Gibeonites send out a call to Israel. Joshua, we're in covenant with you. Help! Save us! This is an amazing story, guys. And so you know what happens. Joshua blows the horn. They gather the armies. And let's just read to see what happens. This is an amazing story. Now get this. The Gibeonites deceived Israel. It's chapter 10 of Joshua. 9 and 10. So the men of Gibeon sent word to Joshua, camped at Gilgal, "Don't let us down now. Come here quickly, save us, help us." So Israel begins the attack on all of these nations. Now listen to this. It says this: God pitched huge stones on them out of the sky, and many died. More died from the hailstones than the people of Israel killed with the sword. God himself is defending these people who've deceived Israel because they are in covenant with Israel. You're going to learn a grace message here. Now, the battle's going, and there's Israel cannot get the job done because the sun is going down. Joshua, I'd like to see what he looked like. And it says, "And God gave the Amorites up to Israel, and Joshua spoke to God," or spoke to Yahweh, "with all Israel listening." This is a key. Faith doesn't care who's listening to it. If you've got to hedge your faith because of somebody in your family, I question whether it's real faith. In front of all Israel, Joshua spoke. He didn't go into his tent and go, oh God, help. He stood in front of Israel and listen, look what he did. I don't have it memorized from this translation. He said, "Sun, stop!" And it says over Gibeon. So the sun must have been in that place. The moon must have been over this valley. And he says, "Halt, moon!" over that valley. And the sun stopped. The moon stood stock still until Joshua defeated his enemies. Is your brain tilting? Do you realize what happened? Can you imagine what kind of power it takes to stop the sun and the moon in their tracks in the heavenlies? You're our scientist. Does that make your brain tilt?
The brake on the spin on the earth or something.
What did he do? And we didn't get thrown off.
Yeah.
I mean, because if you put the brake on the earth, if you put a brake on your car, it throws everybody in the car forward. How did he do that? He's God! That's not a problem for him. First, he beats this army up with hailstones. Then he allows his man, and it's interesting because the translation says here, he says, "The sun stopped in its tracks in mid-sky, just sat there all day. There's never been a day like that day before or since. God took orders from a human voice." Truly, God fought for Israel. The Gibeonites deceived Israel, but made a covenant with them. Friends, if God would do such a miracle to protect and defend deceivers who entered into a covenant with his covenant people, what might he do for those of us who are in covenant with him because we're in covenant with his son? You didn't get it. What might God do for you if he would do that, if he would cause the skies to defend Israel and defeat their enemies? He would cause the sun and the moon to stop so that Israel could defeat its enemies. What would he do for you? Okay, go ahead and go. We use this verse a lot here, but we don't have it down in our hearts yet. It's not enough to simply confess a verse. It's got to go off inside of you like a bomb. Romans 8:32, please. Get ready. I'm going to take you through a whole bunch of verses. Romans 8:32. 8:32. Praise God. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not then with him freely give us all things? See, friends, we have a covenant with God. Now, please, you have to take it out of a religious mindset. If you understand what a covenant means, it means well, let's just talk about this, except it's a bad example in America anymore, but a marriage is a covenant. It's not an agreement. It's a covenant. It's not a contract. It is a covenant. It is a covenant. I mean, every aspect of a covenant is present in a marriage. The vows, shedding of blood, every part of a covenant is in the marriage. It's not a contract. It's not just an agreement. It's not just a good idea. You suppose that's one of the reasons America is sick today? Yeah, it is. Because we've broken our covenants. We've broken our covenants with our wives and with our husbands and then with our children and then with our families. We've broken our covenant. See, when the marriages and families begin to fall apart, our society begins to fall apart. Because covenant is broken. Mark, I'm starting to feel kind of guilty here. Well, hold on. We're talking about grace. We're talking about we entered into a covenant with one who is greater than our sin, greater than our failings, greater than our troubles. And when you enter into that covenant with Jesus Christ, his blood was shed for you. And though you cannot keep a covenant, and you've proven that you fail over and over and over and over again, he has not. He has not failed. And therefore, when you put your faith in him, what happens is his work, his covenant, his ability to keep that covenant is still in force and still working in power for you. So when you've failed, you can come and receive cleansing and forgiveness. Isn't this good? And that's why as a nation, we can receive the same mercy from God if we would just do it. Now let's just look at a couple things. In Hebrews chapter 8, in Hebrews chapter 8 today, this is so wonderful. In Hebrews chapter 8, verse 6, but now has he obtained a more excellent ministry. Speaking of Jesus, he's obtained a more excellent ministry by how much more he is the mediator of a better covenant. Say better covenant.
Better covenant.
Better covenant, which was established upon better promises. You see, here's the thing. The children of Israel, they would always continually, if you're reading through the Bible with us, you just see all those sacrifices they had to make, and I just throw up my hands and go, good night, how did they keep all of these? Well, they couldn't.
That's right.
That's what, all they did was give us a picture that I can't keep the law, But there's coming one who will keep the law and whose sacrifice will be perfect. And if I put my faith in him, God counts it as good. Psh. Man. And here it is. He's the mediator. You don't have to go through anybody. You don't have to go through me. You don't have to go through a pastor, through a priest. You don't have to go through your husband or your mom or your dad. Whatever. You don't have to go through it. It is but you and Jesus. That's good news. No man can keep me from coming boldly to the throne of grace. I've got a better covenant. What trouble are you facing today? The Gibeonites were in trouble. They made a covenant with a covenant people. Isn't that amazing? And God defended them. God protected them. God blessed them. And he saved them. You got trouble today? You got trouble today? If you've got trouble today, God's got the answer for you. He'll reach over 1,000 people for you today. He'll do whatever it takes to get into your life what you need. Guys, let me tell you something right now. Don't let your heart or your mind get offended right now. People are allowing their hearts, their minds to get offended, and their hearts are getting revealed. Don't go down that road. Did you see the master wants to touch your life? He wants to get healing into your life. He wants to get blessing into your life. He wants to get whatever it takes to get into your life so that you can be whole. See, as Americans, we just like to do our own thing. Well, how's that working for you? How's that working for you? How's that working for you? Unemployment rate of 20 to 25%. How's that working for you, America? Kick me out of the schools. How's that working for you? Come on. Quickly, somebody read Matthew 19:26. Somebody read Mark 11:24. Somebody read Mark 9:23. Somebody read Mark 10:27. Somebody read Luke 1:37. Then somebody else read John 14:12-14. We'll stop there till you can catch up. All right? All right. Okay, John 15:7, then John 16:7-15, and John 16:20. Is that an awesome verse to finish on? The Father himself loves you. Jesus is saying, listen, you just come to the Father in my name. You see, I'm the access to the Father, but the Father himself loves you. You need to say that to yourself. The Father himself loves me. The Father himself loves me. The Father loves you, guys. And if he would marshal the forces of nature to defend a people who deceived his own covenant people, what would he do for you? What would he do for you today? What would he do for you today? You know, guys, I think it's this. I think he'll do anything that we ask him in the name of Jesus. I think the problem is we're just not believing. I think the problem is we're afraid to ask because we've asked in the past and not received anything. And so we just think if I just live a good Christian life and just barely get by, somehow when I get to heaven, it'll all happen when I get to heaven. Well, it's going to happen when you get to heaven. But I tell you what, we ought to get some of it now.
That's right. Come on.
Jesus paid a price that you could have what you need now. And here's the thing, through those verses we were reading, God wants to have a connection with you by His Holy Spirit. Now, I'm going to ask some rhetorical questions. Is there anything too insignificant for God, or anything too insignificant for you to ask God? I remember years ago when I was a young man, just beginning to serve the Lord, I kind of grew up in a home that was marginally Christian. You know, we'd go to church on Easter and Christmas, you know, and I was baptized as a baby when I was a Methodist, and then when I was about six, I was baptized by immersion in the Disciples of Christ Church. So, I mean, my folks, I guess, hung out occasionally at church. I do know that I would see more of church when I was in junior high and high school when I got in trouble. But you know, when I was a young man, I began to see that I could really serve the Lord. And I was talking to a lady one day, and she had horses. And her horse was sick, and I just was excited about God. I thought, well, have you prayed for your horse? Well, I didn't know that most people think that's stupid. How do you pray for your animals? Well, good for you. All right, yeah, I do too. You know, But I just said, why don't you pray for it? And I was thoroughly, soundly rebuked because, well, God's too busy. I don't know what it was. I don't even know the thinking anymore. Is it He's too busy? My brother, you've prayed for some of those cows, I'm sure. Because that's your prophet, huh? Oh, God, I can't heal this thing. Well, if you're a rancher, you pray for those cows. It's so good to have you guys here from all the way from Wyola. I tell you, that's awesome. It's awesome. My. Our brothers from the Crow Reservation, we so love them. Praise the Lord. Pray for you guys, too. We really do. Don't know all the details going on up there, but I pray for the Crow. I don't know if you got a Wyola down there on one of your things over here. You've got to have them over here. You do? Is it on there? Okay, see. Yeah, praise the Lord. All right, yeah. Almost heaven, Wyola. Okay. Still remember that T-shirt. But is there anything too insignificant? Pray for your horses. Pray for your dogs. Pray for your cats. Pray for whatever it is. It's not too insignificant. Well, I lost my keys. Ask the Lord. You know, I had registration for my car someplace, and I lost that thing, and I'm thinking, oh, man. And Patty and I have dinked around, and we got to get in there tomorrow morning. I'm glad there are 29 days in this month, or I would be overdue and owe more money. Praise God. So guess where we'll be tomorrow morning? Well, I'd lost. I couldn't find my checkbook. I couldn't find all that stuff. And I'd looked everywhere. I was I was the crazy person with my briefcases. I went through those briefcases. How many times can you go through a briefcase before you say, it's not in there? You know, desks, and I realize my desks aren't very neat. You'd look at my desk and go, I know where the order is on stuff. I know where the strata is. I know where stuff goes. You might not, but I know. Leave it alone. If you come in and mess it up, I'll be in trouble. I looked everywhere. So one more. I got done. I was reading my devotions, and I said, Lord, where? I should have did this to start with. Lord, where is my registration and my checkbook? That quick, in my heart, I saw it. It was in a coat pocket of one of the jackets. How many times do I wear jackets? I mean, it's like, this is probably the time for the year. Until Christmas, thank you. And I saw one of my jackets, and I thought, when did I even wear that thing? I walked upstairs, opened my wardrobe, stuck my hand in the pocket, and it was right there. insignificant. He said, well, that's just because you got your mind into the beta mode and it was just kind of freewheeling and you know, so you remembered where you put it. Doesn't matter. I asked him and he told me. It's my story, so there. And I'll give God glory rather than my mind, which I know all men's minds begin to fail. You say, well, aren't you believing God? I'm believing for long and strong, yes. But listen, everybody has one of those moments. I'm not talking bad things, not talking dementia. We all have those moments, but that's neither here nor there. Let's give God glory rather than take it ourselves. Okay? So insignificant. But you might be facing something that's insurmountable. Don't you think the one who threw out hailstones, the one who stopped the earth without throwing us off, can take care of your insurmountable problem? Now, we're going to do something today. And we may have to vamp. May I just kind of wait on the Holy Spirit again? Is anybody feeling faith rising in their heart? Okay. What I want us to do is I'm going to call out a couple things. And if that's you, you come, we're going to pray. And it may be insignificant. It may be something, maybe you're facing a life or death issue. Listen, guys, it's not insurmountable for God. You may be under addictions today. Your life, you may have failed relationships over and over and over and over. None of this is too hard for God. You know, we're hearing all sorts of stories in this hour. You know, we're seeing them. We're going to see the dead raised. You're going to see the dead raised. I've seen it once. I expect to see it more. I was listening to Derek Prince this week, and he's gone to be on with the Lord, but he was talking about a time he was in Africa. One of his students, I think, died, and so he and his wife just asked the family, what could we pray for? As Christians, we don't pray for the dead. Don't need to pray for the dead. Their decisions up or down. Know what I'm saying? But I tell you what, if we're praying for the dead, we're praying that they come back to life. Yeah. And Derek said, so we started praying. She just sat right up. Wow. We've had Jim here. He's told us about that in Thailand. You know? Remember that story? They went into a brothel to minister the gospel and saw an ambulance there, and one of the girls had a heart attack and died. They went over and began to pray for her. The coroner hadn't come yet to officially pronounce her dead. They began to pray for her, and God raised her from the dead. And all the girls in the brothel got saved that night. Listen, guys, it's time for the power of God to be released in our lives. Now, how many of you have been to a doctor in the last year? I'm not going to embarrass anybody. Okay, so Karen, what is your doctor's business called? His business called, or her business called?
Oh, physician.
No. It's called a practice.
Yeah, that's right.
A family practice, or an eye, nose, and throat practice, or it's a practice. I don't know how much you paid him. I don't care to know, but when you went to the doctor, you paid him to practice on you.
That's right. Come on.
Okay, Karen says, I get a practice on him. Well, okay, whatever that means. Okay, so now, you know my point. Now, this is what happens in our as Christians. We pray for someone and nothing happens. And we go, Oh, it didn't work. If you're a doctor and you have someone that you don't cure, and even God forbid that they die, you don't close your practice. Right? What do? You go into work the next day and practice on somebody else. And I don't mean this derogatorily toward doctors at all. I mean, that's just the way it's called. They call it a practice. And so my point is this, guys. Why then do you quit praying? Why don't you just continue to pray? So what I want us to do, who feels like faith is rising in their heart today? I know some things. So what we're going to do is I'm going to kind of open this up for a while here. We're going to start with some little things, but if you're having trouble with your eyes or your ears, maybe there's ringing in your ears or there's something going on, there's some fuzziness in your ears, just raise your hands. Okay, those people now who have raised their hands, keep your hands up, but those who said, I've got faith today, I want you to go pray for those people. Say, well, what if I raise my hand and I've got my hand raised for my ears ringing or my, lay your hands on yourself. No, let somebody pray for you. So right now, just go begin. If you're not getting prayed for and you still need prayer, put your hand up in the air. There's a brother in the back needs his hand up. Brother back here. Okay, brother back here. Brother back here. Izzy, are you raising your hand because you need prayer? Okay, praise the Lord. Did you have your hand raised because you were going to pray for people? Okay, all right. We need somebody over here to pray. Yeah, praise the Lord. Sister here, okay, all right. Sister back there. We're praying in faith. We're praying in faith. We're saying, Father God, in the name of Jesus, we're thanking you for a miracle right now. Father, I'm in covenant with your Son. Your Son paid a price for me that I could not afford, but he did it for me. So right now we're praying. There's still somebody here who needs prayer right here. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Yeah, come pray, David. Get up and thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Yeah, well, okay. Yeah, here. We're praying in faith. We're simply saying, Lord, we're asking you to heal. Is it their eyes? Is it their ears? Whatever it is, we're thanking you, Lord, for health and healing in Jesus' name. Our eyes will not grow dim. Natural force will not abate. Thank you, Father, for miracles right now. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Okay. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. It's okay. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Brothers and sisters, as a Christian, Jesus said, lay hands on the sick and they would recover. And our hands are loaded. Our hands are loaded with his power. Now we're practicing. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. How's everyone doing? Anyone not receive prayer? Who'd like prayer? Okay. Talking about, we're starting simple things, ears and eyes, okay? Any other word?
Well, I do have a word, it's okay. A personal word.
Okay, all right, sure, come on up.
Yeah.
I guess that's over here.
Doesn't really have anything to do with healing, I think. What's your name? Yeah.
Wendy.
Is it Wendy? Wendy, the Lord has given you an assignment of intercession. And that assignment of intercession, he gives you the assignment and you'll be able to complete this assignment. It's for, I believe, for a family member. And the Lord's going to ask you some acts of obedience. There's some things he's going to ask you to do. And the intent is victory. What the Lord is saying, he's saying, I want to use you to gain a place of intercession for that instance, for that person you're praying for, okay? When you gain a place of intercession for one person, you will have the place of intercession for others as well.
Amen.
Okay?
Yeah, that's good.
So the other thing I heard was you can have a miracle or you can gain a place of intercession.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Wow. Good. Good word. Good word. Praise the Lord. Okay? Matthew? Got anything? Why not?
I got something.
Now we're vamping. It's okay. We're practicing today. We're practicing. It's okay. Okay, did we pray a few moments ago? And anybody experience anything while you were receiving prayer? Did someone pray for you, Izzy? Did someone pray for you? I saw your hand up, but did someone come back and pray for you? Okay. Okay. Did anybody experience anything? Soreness left your eyes. Okay. Praise the Lord. Anybody else? See, guys, it's okay. Matthew talked about that verse very clearly. John the Baptist's disciples came and they said, Jesus, are you the one? John wants to know, are you the one, or should we look for another? And Jesus then said, come on, boys, and went out and began to raise the dead and heal the sick and cast out devils. And then he got done that morning's ministry and he said, go tell John what you saw and what you heard. Mm-hmm. Yep. Now, guys, we're a bunch. This is like preschool. Okay, I understand that. I understand it's like preschool. But we have to, you got to go to preschool before you get to kindergarten. You got to go to kindergarten before you get to first grade. And I understand. How many have ever experienced a miracle? Okay, so a number of us have. But I tell you guys, that's kind of a rare thing. God wants us to start moving in the power things of the Spirit. And it's going to require then a life of holiness and godliness, of course, and a life in the Word is going to require that of us more and more. But if you want to experience it, that means connecting. That's why we gather on Sundays. I mean, you can go to, let me tell you something. You can go to any church you want to go to and God will bless you. But I tell you, there are some churches, if you go to them, what you'll get is a bunch of unbelief. They're going to pat you on the back and tell you, oh, I'm sorry that you're sick, but you just got to trust God, and when you die and get to heaven, everything will be fine. Well, it will be fine when you get to heaven, but we're living in the now, and we got to have God's power in the now, and Jesus paid for it in the now. And so we got to press into this. You say, well, if it's God's will, why doesn't he do things? He has. His son paid the price. He expects us to believe.
That's right. That's right.
If you won't believe, you won't get anything, and it's not God's fault. And that's why you need to hear someone preaching the truth to you. And that's why you need brothers and sisters who say, you didn't get anything? Let's pray again. So if you still got ringing in your ears, put your hand back up. Now back here, somebody back there said, I want prayer again. So somebody else go pray. Say, well, I prayed for him and nothing happened. Well, then go pray a second time. Well, the Bible says we should pray once and after that. I understand the prayer of faith. But all of us aren't operating in the prayer of faith. We're trying to get just the old thing started. You know, yesterday I tried to get my motorcycle started because I see seasons coming. I even had Rod working on my motorcycle. I thought that thing would see him. You know, when Jesse comes into our house, all the bandwidth goes to his computer. He has a X-Man power, and it's all the bandwidth goes to Jesse. Just boom. Well, when Rod, I thought the motorcycle would see Rod and it would automatically start. Well, he worked and worked, and we did this and we did this and some of that, and it still would work. But I got it working yesterday. But you know, it was like I had to work and change the gas and do this and do that, and battery chargers, and I finally got it going. I could have quit and said, I don't have a motorcycle for the season.
No,
same thing. Well, they prayed and nothing happened. So if you need prayer, raise your hand. Okay, those of you who've prayed, let's go pray again. Izzy, come. I saw your hand both times, didn't I? No, if not, don't. It's okay. I want you to pray again. Say, what are we doing? We're practicing this morning. Karen's hands are up nice and high and bold. Let's just pray. Put your hand, cup your hands around their ears. Just ask God to heal them in Jesus' name. Speak to that buzzing, that noise, whatever it is. I tell you, guys, I don't know why I'm picking on these things, but about 2 months ago, my ear started, it sounded like I had a kazoo in my ear. It was the creepiest thing I've ever had in my life. Well, you know what? I just went, oh, God, help me. And I had to get on that thing day by day by day and speak the word to it day by day by day and tell that thing to stop in the name of Jesus. I tell you what, I don't have a kazoo in my ear anymore today. The word works. Yeah, thank you, Father. Now, anybody else? If you say, well, you've prayed for me and that's okay, but I'm a little bit, come on. All right. Praise the Lord. It's okay. Thank you, Lord. We're learning how the power of God works in our bodies and in our lives. Guys, often I'll lay hands on myself if there's nobody around. I'll lay hands on whatever it is that's troubling me, and I'll begin to speak to it. Command healing and life in my body in the name of Jesus. It's okay, we're practicing. This is church. That's what church is for, guys. So when you go out into the real world, you've had some experience with people who love you. Okay? All right. Okay, we've got group back there, group here, all right. Now, let me just say this. If you've got a need, and you'd like prayer for any other need, any other thing that we've talked about, if you just want to come up to the front, we'll pray for you. Glory to God. Whatever your need is, whatever that need is, I want you to think of the Gibeonites, and I want you to think how God defended them. He defended them because of a covenant they made with Israel. You've got a covenant with Jesus Christ. Okay, pain, something's wrong with your head. Anybody in the, up here like that? Pain, something wrong with your head today? Anybody? Okay. All right. Okay. All right. Bernhardt, come on. Matthew, come on. Josh, come on up here. Yeah, praise the Lord. Let's just begin to pray. Karen, come on. When you're David, come on. Come on, David. Yeah, let's just pray. Believe God. Pray for these.
Ringing left your ears.
The ringing left your ears back there? Praise the Lord. Okay. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. So let's just receive from the Lord. And just go ahead and ask these folks, how can I pray for you? Then just begin to pray. Expect God to work a miracle. He wants to work a miracle for you. He wants to do it. He wants to work a miracle for you. Thank you, Father. 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 Casey, share that word.
All right. So I found a verse in Isaiah 40. It says, "Comfort, comfort my people," said your God. "Speak tenderly to Jerusalem. Tell her that her sad days are gone and her sins are pardoned. Yes, the Lord has punished her twice over for all her sins." I have something to say on that as well. So I just want to say that if there's any disturbance in your life, for instance, if the devil is trying to speak to you, peace to that. Because the devil wants you gone from God. He wants you away from him. You have to shut them up. You have to turn away from that lies and deceive. Turn to the light of God and tell him that what he's saying to me is not true.
That's right. That's good, Casey. Praise the Lord. Father, thank you that we can make that declaration, that we can speak peace and comfort to those disturbed today in Jesus' name. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Casey. Praise the Lord. Anyone else? Anyone else? Praise the Lord.
If you're here today and you have a financial need and you're believing the Lord to meet you in your finances, I'd like to pray with you. Thank you.
This is a year of breakthrough, and that might be in your health, could be in your money as well. Praise God. So praise the Lord. When God gives a word like this, it means he intends to do something for you. So don't hesitate. Jump in line. Get prayed for. Praise God.
So I've had a headache for a week, and she just prayed for me, and my headache is completely gone.
Well, I tell you guys, this stuff works. It does work. God is a living God. You say, well, Mark, I've got big issues. Well, he's a big God. Sometimes I feel like
I'm literally in preschool, but it's okay. It's okay. We're moving. We're stepping forward. Anybody else that something you need something from God today? Okay. I want to take that word that Casey had about speak peace to Jerusalem. And what was that? Was Isaiah 40? Come read it again. Come read it again. Doesn't it say they should be sad no more? Is that what it says? Yeah, come on. Yeah, read it out loud again.
Sorry.
Okay.
So, comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem. Tell her that her sad days are gone and her sins are pardoned. Yes, the Lord has punished her twice over for all her sins.
Wow, praise the Lord. Thank you, Casey. Wow, thank you, Lord. I want to just stay there for just a second. If you can receive it, somebody needs to receive this today. If you can receive it, your sad days are over. You see, the faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. If you can hear that, you can leave here today. Your sad days are over. Somebody's been mourning and grieving and struggling and not thinking God loves them. And they're just, I tell you what, your sad days are over. Sad days over. Yeah. Yeah, just a minute.
Okay.
Just a minute. Sad days are over. Sad days are over. Sad days are over. Sad days are over. A day of rejoicing is dawning in your life, Karen. A new day is going to dawn in your life. The past pain and the guilt and the troubles, God says, I've got a new chapter for you if you'll step into it.
Amen.
Yeah, glory to God. Glory to God. Yeah.
Let's have a testimony on Tuesday
okay.
night.
Yeah. Sure.
You're talking about sad days, and on Tuesday night I was praying with Dwayne and Lori, and I just felt like I said any type of sadness needs to be stripped away, and Dwayne was saying the same thing for my life, and we were just praying with each other, and I don't know, I've felt different ever since, just so much happier and everything. So.
Amen. You look like a new kid up there today. Yeah, 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 yeah. Father, I want to thank you. I want to thank you for my little brother and the plan and the purpose you have for his life. Thank you for the new liberty in his life. Father, we just thank you, Lord. Fill him up more and more, more and more, more and more. I thank you he's an influencer. I thank you he's an influencer. I thank you there's a call in his life, and I thank you for that power of God being very readily demonstrated and released in his life. And Father, I thank you for it. I thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Yeah, you can just stay right there and let Jesus do whatever he's doing. Oh, God. Lord, we want revival. Lord, I want a revival that upsets my plans. I really do. Gosh. You know, let me just say something. Well, Pastor Mark, I think we need to hear the word preached. You guys have heard the word preached so much. You're so full of the word. Somebody needs to get it out of you, and that's what a revival will do. It'll begin to cause the glory to begin to rise up in you, begin to flow out. And you see, guys, this is where you really begin to become a mature Christian. Jesus said, my food, come on. My food is to hear the preacher preach. My food is to buy a cassette tape or listen to the MP3s of Brother Jerry preaching. That's good. My food's to buy Mark's new book. No, 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 no. My food is to do the will of him who sent me. See, as you begin to do, as you say, man, my hands are loaded. Well, my hands are never loaded. I never see anybody healed when Christina laid her hands on, and they're healed, but I never. It's because you never, my food is to do. Is to do. my food is to do. Say, well, I never see any miracles. Jesus said, go, lay hands on the sick, and they'd recover. The guys, most of the miracles that you'll ever see are out there waiting for you to go lay hands on them. Evangelism, Wednesday night, 5 o'clock, right here. Of course, evangelism this afternoon at the dinner place, wherever you're at. At the hospital, should you have to fulfill all that. That's it. I mean, you know what I'm saying, guys? Anybody else, any kind of testimonies of the power of God touching your body while we just now prayed? See, one of the things we've taught for years, and that is the word of faith, is this. You speak, you declare, and you say, I only have to pray one time. And that's fine. But what it's done is then we're afraid to say, did anything happen? Because we're people of faith, and we know we just prayed once, and we don't have to pray again. Well, did anything happen? Because sometimes we need to pray a second time because for whatever reason. So I understand the prayer of faith. You only need to pray it once. But sometimes we just need to pray again. Now, this is a different kind of prayer, but sometimes we just need to do that. So let's not be discouraged. If we prayed, you say, I didn't get anything. Well, let's just continue believing God. Remember, sometimes, guys, now, ushers, would you get ready to receive communion? We're going to receive communion right now. So here's this. Sometimes, guys, if don't turn your faith off by saying, well, I didn't get anything. You just turned off your faith, and you turned off my faith. Well, you didn't turn my faith off because you can't turn my faith off, but you make my faith of no good because you just shut it off and say, oh, I didn't get anything. I tell you, but you know what? Many times they got healed as they went. So, Lord, I just thank you for the healing power working in my body. I received prayer by my brothers and sisters. They laid hands on me. I thank you, Father. I'm expecting healing to begin to manifest in my body in Jesus' name.
So I had some ringing in my ears. And they came back and prayed for me. Noah prayed for me the first time, and it got louder. The ringing in my ears actually got louder. And so they came back and they prayed for me again. The ringing is significantly decreased, but it's not completely gone. However, the second time they prayed, I got a specific word that the bones in my ears are being made strong and that they're being healed. So, amen. Even though the ringing isn't completely gone right now, it's going to be. I've got a word to stand on. I've got faith for that, and I'm going to see that happen. It's going to happen in me. I'm going to be healed this week. Amen. 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 So if you got prayed for and you didn't get it right away, you have a word that you can stand on, and you're going to see that happen. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. As we come to communion, again, if you read your Bible without a religious glasses on, and it's hard to do because we've all got religious glasses. You know, but if you read through Corinthians and you see how they used to have communion, I tell you, it's totally different than how we often have communion today. And, I mean, these people were drinking so much wine, they were getting drunk. And they were eating so much bread, they were being gluttons. And so Paul had to address it and say, guys, listen, this is the Lord's body and his blood. I mean, the Corinthians were a pretty wild group. And you know what, guys? I'm sorry, here we are, you know, in our Protestant way. I've thought some about getting the silver tray and getting our little glass cups and everything so we can be normal. And we may do that at some point simply just because it is nice. But, you know, if you think about it, those Corinthians were drinking so much wine, they were getting drunk. Well, you know, it's just totally different than how we view communion. It was also done at a meal, because that's what happened at the first Seder. Well, the Christian Seder with Jesus at it, the Last Supper, we call it. If communion is found, and we're going to have communion, we're going to have a Seder this year during Passover. We always love to do that, and you'll see the origin of communion in the Seder. It's awesome. It's an awesome time. So as we come, though, we're remembering that Jesus died for us. If you're a believer, you're welcome to this table. You say, well, someone prayed for me and nothing happened. I tell you what, you're receiving the body that was broken for you. You're receiving the blood of Christ that was shed for you. As you receive it into your physical body, you can receive healing in your physical body. This is not just a religious exercise, guys. This is you communing with the Lord of glory, the Lord of creation, and he is saying, if you'll receive of my body, you'll receive of my blood. I'll do whatever is necessary for you. I'll heal your broken body because mine was broken, so yours doesn't have to be. And my blood was shed so your sin can be forgiven. And he was stripped naked on that cross and so we could share his glory. He took our shame so we could have his glory. My. He took the curse, for the scripture says, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come upon us. And that blessing is this, is that when you walk out of here, everything you put your hand to prospers. Your children are blessed. There's increase in your job. Everything that you do, your storehouse is blessed. Your wife is the best cook on the block. I mean, that's what it means. It says your storehouse is blessed. Everything that you put your hand to, like the blessing of Obed-Edom, everything in his yard began to green up. His cows got fatter. His kids got smarter. His wife got prettier. What happened? Read the story. It made national news. It did. The king said, what is going on down there? I want that in my yard. That's what happened. Well, guys, it's here right now. The body of Jesus broken for you. Lord, we remember what you did for us. And Lord, we're thankful. We can never repay it. We can't come to church enough. We can't give or tithe enough. We don't have enough to give to the poor. We can't serve enough. Lord, we can't be in the church doors enough. We can't tell the gospel enough. We owe a debt we cannot pay. And Lord, we're thankful that you paid for it. You paid our debt. That your body was broken. And we stop right now and remember that and say, Lord, thank you. Thank you for dying for me. Thank you for allowing your body to be broken that mine might be whole. Thank you, Lord, that your blood was shed that my sin might be forgiven. And Lord, right now I receive the body and the blood shed for me and broken for me. And I thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Let's receive the body of Jesus broken for us. Thank you, Lord. Friends, he made a new covenant. He made a new covenant. He made it with his own blood. He spilled his own blood for you and for me. And Father, we're grateful. And because of what Jesus did, we can now say today, we're sons of God. The scripture says it hath not yet appeared what we shall be, but when we see him, we'll be like him. Maranatha, Lord, we remember your death. But we also look forward to your return as we receive the blood of Jesus shed for us. Let's receive it.
Thank you for listening to Christ Church International's weekly message. We declare that the things that God said he would do, now he is doing it. If you are ever in the Longmont area, we would love for you to join us for our Sunday gathering. We meet every Sunday morning at 9:30 a.m. in the heart of Longmont's creative district in downtown. The address is 527 Main Street, That's near the intersection of 6th Avenue and Highway 287, which is Main Street in downtown Longmont. Are you on Facebook? Connect with us. Our page is facebook.com/Christ Church International. Our website is www.christchurchinternational.org. Our email is contact@innercourt.com. And our mailing address is P.O. Box 2125, Longmont, Colorado 80502. Thanks for listening, and we hope to hear from you soon.